At this point in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, Paul is aware, I think, of the danger that what he's been saying might be misunderstood. Paul has been arguing that the Corinthian infatuation with the world's wisdom, the Corinthians' infatuation with the showiness of Greek oratory, Paul's been arguing that that's wrong, that it's the gospel that is the wisdom and power of God for salvation. And so the danger is this, to think that Paul is saying that Christianity was devoid of any wisdom. There is no reasoning or intelligence or substance to the Christian message. It's kind of a religion for dummies. Just check your brains in at the door of the church. You're not going to need them. In fact, just check your brains in for life. Just believe a few simple facts and you're all set. Was that what Paul was saying when he talked about the folly of what we preach? And he talked about the foolishness of God. Was Paul saying that wisdom and Christianity were incompatible? Was the Christian worldview the worldview that is naive and unsophisticated and for the simple-minded? While Greek culture and their philosophies and their eloquent oratory were for the truly great minds of the world? Paul does not want to be misunderstood when he talks about not coming to them with the lofty speech and wisdom of the world. He wants to make it clear here that it's not the case that Christianity is a naive and unsophisticated worldview and religion for the simple-minded. That's not what he has been saying, which is why verse number 6, Paul uses this word, yet. However, I think the NIV translates it, howbeit, the King James uses. But what Paul means is, I'm going to clarify, I'm going to say something that will put in perspective what I've been saying about worldly wisdom. I'm going to clarify some things. You see, God's plan of redemption and God's revelation about himself and God's very being and God's ways and God's works all speak of a wisdom that's far greater than our finite human minds can comprehend. More to the point, far greater than anything our human minds could come up with. And Paul is saying here in these verses, don't misunderstand me when I talk about the gospel is not worldly wisdom and I don't come with worldly wisdom and I don't come with worldly eloquence. Don't misunderstand and think that there's no wisdom in Christianity. And so look what Paul says in verse number 6. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. Paul says, I do teach wisdom. I do impart wisdom among the mature. When Paul says, we do impart wisdom, he's talking about the apostles. And perhaps others who taught apostolic doctrine. And he's saying that they teach the great and hidden wisdom of God, which is what we want to talk about in these verses this morning. Paul gives us five defining characteristics of what he calls the hidden secret wisdom of God. The first thing we want to see is that God's wisdom is a special kind of wisdom. And in light of it, worldly wisdom fades into nothingness. Verse 6 is an extremely powerful verse. The message in verse number 6 is incredibly strong. yet among the mature we do impart wisdom. You teach the gospel, you teach the Bible, you preach the Bible. If you absorb what the Bible says, if you get the Bible message, then there is certainly wisdom in that message. But Paul says here three things. Number one, it's a wisdom among the mature. Number two, it's not a wisdom of this age. And number three, it's not a wisdom of the rulers of this age. So first of all, yet among the mature. In other words, you have to be spiritual. You have to have a spiritual nature, and you have to be growing in order for this wisdom to really register, to really mean something. If there are spiritually mature people in Corinth, they would understand this and appreciate God's wisdom as seen in Paul's teaching and the teaching of the apostles. The truth of the matter is that all believers should have a great hunger and thirst for gospel-centered wisdom, the wisdom of Scripture, the wisdom found in God's redemptive work, the wisdom found in God's person, the wisdom found in God's glory. So Paul says, I want you to understand, among the mature, we do impart wisdom. We do teach wisdom. We do preach wisdom. Believers must mature, must grow in their understanding of the gospel. And as they mature in Christ, God becomes, on a continual basis, more and more great and glorious and wise in our eyes. Paul is not saying this wisdom that he imparts is for a specific, special group of Christians. He's simply saying all believers should be growing in maturity so they more and more appreciate the depths of the gospel, the depths of God. Paul is saying here that God's wisdom involves growing deeper in the apostolic and gospel-centered truths that he teaches. All of what Paul is saying here is written in light of what Paul preached, which he says in chapter 2 and verse number 2, is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Spiritual truth is for all believers, but maturity is a key factor. Paul is saying to the Corinthians they shouldn't be lazy about growing in their knowledge of the truth, knowledge of God. So Paul says, we do impart wisdom among the mature, number one. And number two, it's not a wisdom of this age. Age refers to a time period. The age we live in is very well described in Galatians 1:4, which says, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God, our God and Father. So what age do we live in? We live in the present evil age. And it's been the present evil age since the fall of man. So Paul teaches wisdom. Certainly he does. Definitely he does. But it's a wisdom that's not consistent with the minds of fallen man. Fallen men simply cannot grasp it, cannot understand it. And look at chapter 1 and verse number 19. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. God is in the process of destroying human, worldly wisdom. So Paul says, yeah, we preach wisdom, don't misunderstand. But it's wisdom among the mature, number one. And number two, it's a wisdom of this age. It's not the wisdom of this age. And number three, Paul points to the fact that the rulers of this age do not know this wisdom. It's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age. Those who have positions in civil rulership, Paul is saying, who remain unbelievers, don't know this wisdom. Paul mentions that these rulers are passing away or coming to nothing. He says, who are doomed to pass away, nor of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. God's eternal kingdom will have only one supreme ruler, Jesus Christ. And all the powers that be in the world will eventually come to naught. And by implication, so will the wisdom they supposedly had. With one powerful verse, Paul is showing here the emptiness of worldviews that are not biblical and are not gospel-centered. If God and the gospel are not in one's worldview, then it is a deficient worldview, a very deficient worldview. And when Paul says this in verse number 6, it continues to be a stern rebuke to the believers at Corinth who are being divisive and who are pursuing the foolishness of worldviews that are steeped in worldly wisdom only. So the first truth about God's wisdom here is it's a special kind of wisdom. And in light of God's wisdom, worldly wisdom fades into nothingness. It's nothing compared to the wisdom of God. The second thing Paul says here about God's wisdom is it's secret. It's a secret and hidden wisdom. Look at verse number 7. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom from God. So we would say, how come all these worldly people, Paul's talking about the leaders of the world, the rulers of the world, and the philosophers of the world, and stuff, how come all these worldly smart people don't know this wisdom? Paul says, I teach wisdom. I preach wisdom. Don't misunderstand me. Well, how come these people don't have this wisdom? Well, you see what Paul says? Because it's secret. It's hidden. The reason for the ignorance of God's wisdom in this present evil age is because God keeps it hidden from them. It's secret. Now, if you have a King James, the word secret there is translated mystery. It's a mystery. Now, it doesn't mean a mystery like a puzzle that's hard to figure out, or a mystery like a murder mystery movie or a murder mystery book where you try and figure out who done it. It refers to truth that human beings simply can't come up with. That's what Paul is saying here. How come the people of the world don't have this wisdom and don't know this wisdom? Because they could never come up with it on their own. They don't have anything in them that would come up with the gospel truths of the Word of God, the wisdom of God. It's a secret. Now, it's a secret God's revealed to believers. The Corinthian church and believers today need to understand God's wisdom centers around the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul says in verse number 7. We impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. This is something God decreed or ordained before the world began. Another way to put that is the gospel is not, God's not kind of rolling with the punches, going along with the flow of things and changing things here and there as things come up and he sees this, oh, well, no, let's do this. No. The gospel's not an afterthought. God's never making it up as it goes along. God's only ever had one plan. There is no plan B, and there doesn't have to be a plan B because plan A is perfect. So Paul says, we're proclaiming the fullness of the revelation, what all the Old Testament pointed to, we're preaching now, Christ and him crucified and him Savior and him coming back again to bring in the fullness of God's kingdom. That's plan A. And it was what God decreed before the ages. Decreed. The NIV says destined and the King James says ordained. But the Greek word is parousio. And in the context it means before the world began, God decided that he would bring a people into the knowledge of his glory. And it implies not just that God said, well, I think I'll do this or I'll decide to do this. But it implies that what God decided, he'll do. It's a done deal in terms of it's going to get done. And notice God ordained this for our glory. What wonderful words in, for our glory. This is happening for those who believe. What wonderful words that God in his great grace and mercy brings us into a relationship with him, that we can know something about his being, his greatness, his love, his judgment, his grace, his goodness, his power, his beauty, his holiness. When he says God is doing this for our glory, it points ultimately to the final fulfillment. Not in this age, but the age to come. The hope of every believer. The glory of eternal life with God. That's the glory. Being in his kingdom, in his presence, where there will be fullness of joy. Oh, yes, there is a wisdom that the Christian worldview has. There's a wisdom that Paul teaches. There's a wisdom the apostles taught. There's a wisdom that they wrote down in the scriptures. But it's a wisdom that has to be revealed to sinful human beings. Otherwise, it's secret and hidden. There's only so much about God revealed in nature. Enough, according to Romans 1:20, that all human beings are without excuse. There's no excuse for them not to worship and give thanks to the one true God. But Paul is talking here of a wisdom that's hidden, secret, that Paul is now teaching. And the other apostles are now teaching. And those mature enough will receive it and understand how great this wisdom is. So the first truth about God's wisdom is it's a special kind of wisdom. And in light of it, worldly wisdom fades into nothingness. And number two, it's a secret and hidden wisdom. And number three, it was not understood by those who crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 8. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. God's wisdom, this wisdom, they were completely blind to it. None of the rulers. It refers to men like Pontius Pilate, the Roman prefect of Judea, and Herod, the tetrarch of Galilee, and the high priest Caiaphas and Annas, and the leaders in the Sanhedrin. They understood nothing of the wisdom of the cross. Had they understood the wisdom of God, had they understood the coming kingdom of God, had they understood the plans and purposes of God, Paul says they wouldn't have crucified Jesus Christ. Instead, they would have worshipped him. But their eyes were blinded by their own arrogance and pride. Even as Jesus Christ stood before them, now, some have understood the rulers of this age as meaning Satan and demonic forces. And certainly, Satan and demonic forces blind the minds of unbelievers. Unbelievers are blinded by the powers of darkness. And certainly, as the human drama is played out, it's played out under the influence of spiritual forces of evil in high places. But Paul here has more specifically these human rulers who are instrumental in Christ's crucifixion. It was not understood by those who crucified the Lord of glory. Listen to part of a prayer from Acts chapter 4, verse 24 through 28. Members of the early church prayed this prayer in Acts chapter 4. They prayed, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and earth and sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place." The rulers of this world didn't understand the wisdom of God. For all of their knowledge, their intelligence, and their human wisdom, they had no idea what was really going on. And so Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was before them. And they crucified him. They took the most unwise action they could have taken. And crucified, and notice what Paul says here, they crucified the Lord of glory. A title of his divinity. And a title that conveys the fact that Jesus rules in the age to come. It's his glory that we have the glory to behold. Paul gives Christ here a title only fitting for God himself. And so the rulers of this world, Paul says, blinded by their pride and arrogance, did not understand God's wisdom and crucified the Lord of Jesus. But we know, of course, that he rose again the third day, that he ascended into heaven, that he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming to judge the living and the dead as the Lord of glory. Paul says, no, we preach wisdom. He does not want people to think, oh, Paul, what's the matter with your Christianity? It's naive and simple and for the simple mind. No, no, Paul says, no, I preach wisdom. It's a special kind of wisdom. The worldly wisdom pales in comparison. But it's secret and hidden, and it was not understood by the rulers of this world. And that's why they crucified the Lord of glory. The fourth thing Paul says here is God's wisdom cannot be apprehended by human means. God's wisdom cannot be apprehended by human means. Verse 9. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Paul turns to the Old Testament, and he uses the Old Testament to point to the fact that God's wisdom, God's purposes, the glory of his eternal kingdom cannot be known by human eyes, human ears, human imaginations in and of themselves. The human heart could never imagine or conceive of God's wisdom, God's glory. Paul introduces verse 9 with the words, as it is written. And one of the difficulties here is that there's no place where this is written in the Old Testament exactly. The closest is Isaiah 64:4. And Paul is probably citing that verse, adding some things from some other Old Testament verses, putting it all in his own paraphrase here. But Isaiah 64:4 says, from of old no one has heard or perceived by the ear, nor eye has seen a God besides you, who acts for those who wait for him. And Paul's point here is human beings have no method of apprehending these truths. They're not open to human beings apart from revelation, apart from God uncovering them to us. Paul is saying the natural man, the unregenerate person, person who doesn't get the word of God, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor the heart of a man imagined. By human means, we cannot know what God has prepared for his people. We don't naturally think like God. We don't naturally understand like God. There's no method of apprehending these truths, coming up with these things. God's wisdom. Even when we have revelation, our understanding is finite. And we must stand in awe of this God who is ultimately transcendent. And to some degree, incomprehensible. Paul is saying here, hey, I'm teaching you God's wisdom. The Christian message is a message of wisdom. But it's secret and hidden. Not understood by those who crucify the Lord of glory. Can't be apprehended by human means. You're not going to see it. You're not going to hear it. Your heart's not going to be able to come up with it. And then Paul says why in verse number 10. We're just going to cover the very first part of verse number 10 in this message. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. That's how you know. Paul says, God's wisdom is revealed by His Spirit. That's the fifth truth. And it is because this knowledge is revealed through the Spirit, not reasoned out by the minds of man. Put some unsaved people in a room, smartest people in the world, leave them there for a week, a month, a year, 10 years, 20 years, they're not going to come out with the gospel. They're not going to come out with the wisdom of God. Their eye hasn't seen it, their ears haven't heard it, their heart can't imagine it. Paul says in verse number 10, this knowledge is revealed through the Spirit, not reasoned out by the minds of men. Not seen by the eyes of men, heard by the ears of men. We know the wisdom of the gospel because it's been revealed to us. Notice Paul says, these things God has revealed to us. Another reference to the apostles, and those associated with the apostles who put down in words the New Testament under the Spirit's superintendence. In other words, this revelation comes down to us through the written word of God. It's God who must uncover, unveil, reveal who He is. We know lots of things about God because we have His word. And we know what God's done because we have His word. And we know what He's doing now, and we know how He's going to accomplish it because it's been revealed to us. The bottom line, say, what's this passage all about? It's that there's a great and glorious wisdom to the Christian faith. And it's a wisdom that centers around Jesus Christ. But it's not a wisdom that you're going to discover by just kind of thinking in your own mind, coming up with it in your own heart. It's a wisdom that God's Spirit has given, and it's been written down to us. And it's far greater than all human philosophies. It's a wisdom that's perfect, and it's a wisdom that fulfills. And it's a wisdom that satisfies the human soul. There's nothing like it. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we have it. The Holy Spirit's given it to us. It's not a wisdom that makes us proud. It's not a wisdom that makes us superior. Or would make us think we're superior to others because we have it and they don't. It's a wisdom that's been given to us as a gift of grace, that we might know God. The church in Corinth is in this divisive mode. They're fighting over personalities. They're grouping themselves together under different factions. And leaders in the church are causing this. They're becoming proud and puffed up in the wisdom of the world, forgetting the wisdom that comes in the gospel. Paul is explaining, no, when I came to you, I preached Christ. But Paul says, but don't misunderstand me. Don't think that the Christian religion has no wisdom in it. The Christian faith is a faith for the naive. Just kind of a simple faith, just a few facts, that's it, forget it. Paul says, God's given you this gift of wisdom that no one could come up with on their own. Blinded to the minds of the unbelievers. Gift of grace revealed through the Spirit of God. For our glory. That we might know God. That we might make much of Him. We live in a world where the gospel and the truths of the gospel, the truths of our faith, are largely either ignored or scoffed at. And there is the temptation sometimes for us as believers to hold worldly wisdom in some kind of high regard, like the Corinthians were doing. Well, we kind of pay lip service to the wisdom of God contained in the gospel truths of the Bible. And brothers and sisters, instead, we must be growing deeper and deeper in gospel truth. And that not simply for the sake of knowing stuff, but for the sake of knowing God. This is the task, and it is our delightful task. It's the task given to us to know God, and because of that, to delight in God. Paul says, hey, wait a minute. We impart wisdom. There's wisdom in Christ and Him crucified. We impart wisdom, but it's a special kind. It's secret and hidden. The leaders who crucified Jesus didn't understand it. It can't be apprehended by human means, but it's been revealed. The biblical picture here and the biblical picture throughout the unfolding plan of redemption is this. Believers and unbelievers belong to two different worlds. We belong not to the kingdom of darkness, but to God's kingdom of light, because He's revealed to us the wisdom of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God, it's the wisdom of God. And God has ordained that we grow deeper in and it's also our delight and privilege to proclaim it to the world. To try and be instruments God uses to snatch people from the darkness and bring them over to the side of God's eternal life. So if you're here this morning and you're not a believer, and only God knows your heart, The good news is this. Those who come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith have their sins forgiven and are brought into this realm of knowing God's glory and knowing God's grace and enjoying God's kingdom forever. That's the wisdom of God. Paul, what's going on here? What are you trying to say this Christianity is all about? Paul says, well, it's about God's wisdom. He's given. You can't see it in your natural state. You can't understand it. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But, man, if God opens your eyes and you grow in the faith and you start absorbing these truths about Christ, then this is what God ordained before the foundation of the world for your glory. Paul is saying here, here's what life is all about. Life is all about knowing God. Life is all about God's kind of wisdom and not the worldly wisdom that someday will amount to nothing. Let's pray. Father, we pray you'd help us to understand this more and more. That we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. Lord, there's an eternity of wisdom there for us. Pray you'd give us the desire to know you more, to increase in our knowledge of you, to increase in the wisdom that will make us grow in holiness, more like Christ, will make our light shine brighter in this dark world. It will fill our hearts more and more with your joy and your peace and your hope. Help us to see that the Christian faith is a faith full of the wisdom of God. Help us not be tempted to think that the false philosophies of the world hold anything in them that really matters in terms of eternity. Grow us in your grace and the knowledge of Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.